So I would like to officially say you're welcome to all of Cleveland.
Oh, all of Cleveland.
For my quarterback tears. Okay. I have blessed you with this content.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, all of you have, and you know who you are. I don't have to call out the names. All of you have done a fantastic job dissecting my quarterback tears and what you liked and what you didn't like. The Joe Burrow thing has gotten a little bit of a brouhaha. I think I might be dead to James Rapine at this point.
By the way, I love James. You know this. James is one of my favorite people. James using a James Rapine gif to show his frustration.
I actually am all the way back in on James because
I've never left James Rapine Island, by the way. We're always all in on James Rapine.
Is there a list on that one, too, that suddenly doesn't exist?
It was on Mac's desk, and then it just got moved off to the side. They can't find it anymore. I don't know where it went.
James Rapine Island. I don't know where it went. Lot of really fit people going for walks on a daily.
No, it's just like me and Mo Egger, and we're talking Reds baseball. That's all that island is. But the point is that
on Rapine's Island?
I've always been on Rapine's Island, but luckily for everyone involved, the list just keep disappearing the same way. It's just
95% of Rapine's Island is great. Don't talk about the 5%.
What happens at Rapine's Island stays on Rapine's Island, okay? At least that's what they told us.
And hence into Jamesville.
At least that's what they told us. All right, so the gift thing.
Love the quarterback team.
The gift of yourself. I just don't know how I feel about that.
I think it's a power move.
Should I start using gifts of myself? If I did that, it would be the corniest thing ever.
I would embrace it. Like, if you did it, I would be all there for you.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't be there for myself. I couldn't ask anybody else to be all the way there for me.
All right, so the quarterback tears comes down to two things. And I thought I was being overly hard on Joe, meaning I thought I was going to get a lot of pushback for Joe Flacco.
Oh, so you've been accused and we'll talk about more in the second segment. You've been accused of rage baiting in certain aspects.
Yeah, which is not really, I just give my opinion. Like, if I was going to rage bait, I think I could have done a hell of a lot better job of rage baiting. Like,
I just never known you to be a rage baiter.
Yeah, you've known me to rage.
But
I don't bait the rage. I just want to rage. See?
Yeah, you rage. I'd never known you to intentionally try to make people mad or upset or angry.
But I thought it was really interesting that, like, I put, so of the 8 quarterback tiers I came up with, I put Joe Flacco under potentially washed. And Mike McNuggets, a friend of the show, friend of Cleveland sports fans everywhere, he kind of was like, oh, I thought he belonged in, like, the danger zone, which was like the second to last thing. And as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, I think that's a better commentary on my quarterback tiers than anything, because I was worried I was being too, I was worried that people were going to think I was rage baiting on the Joe Flacco thing. But yeah, I probably put him too high on the tiers.
All right, so I need a clarification. What's the difference? I get potentially washed. That one seems obvious. That one makes sense. What was exactly the danger zone?
So the danger zone was...
are we in danger of?
So I think people took the tiers in order as like, this is... So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So they like basically potentially washed would be tier 6. And danger zone was like tier... tier 5, and then danger zone was tier 7.
Okay.
But once you got past functional, it was just all-encompassing. None of these things are good. Don't do this.
Yeah, because I would take potentially washed as outside of GTFOH, I would take that as the worst one you can have.
Well, and that's honestly, I thought about putting Kenny Pickett there, but I thought it might be mean.
Well, it would have been, but it would have been on brand as well.
Well, it is, but at some
point... You might have got his aunt to come at everyone too again, which would have been fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel bad about that in hindsight. She was just protecting her nephew. I was trying to have
now
fun with it.
Now you feel bad about
it? I was trying to have fun with it, and I think I might have been mean. Okay. I do endeavor to try and be fun. I don't try to be mean. It happens, but I don't try to be mean. That's old Nick Wilson.
Okay, you can send her.
And I left him at nights.
You can send her an edible arrangement or something. I'm sure she'll be receptive to that.
Maybe some gummies.
If she got anything in the mail from you, she'd probably just think that it was poisoned, and she'd probably be smart just to throw it in the trash. So maybe not. Maybe it'd have to be something like flowers or something.
Wouldn't it be a nice... I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to spend money
on
it.
She doesn't know you, though, is the point.
That's a good point.
She just knows you as the person that talks about her nephew on the internet.
Was it Kelly?
Or on the radio.
Is it Kelly?
I don't remember.
Karen? One of those.
I think it was Karen, wasn't it? Because it was like... I don't know. I don't remember.
It was two on the nose.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. However, I think it's really interesting that the narrative has been... I was actually too kind to Joe Flacco when I... when I called him potentially washed.
I think saying potentially washed seems like the most accurate thing you could possibly say about Joe Flacco. And I don't even think it's insulting. I think it's just the reality. If you ask Joe Flacco what he thinks about Joe Flacco at this point, he'd be like, yeah, I'm 40 years old. You expect me to be great? That's not happening.
Yeah, so I wanted to come up with, like, absent of the tiers that I came up with previously, is there a tier that you could come up with, a Joe Flacco tier? So, like, danger zone, that was like, you're like Russell, you're Russell Wilson adjacent. Potentially washed, you are Kirk Cousins adjacent. Is there a Joe Flacco tier that we could create that perfectly encapsulates where he is beyond potentially washed, danger zone, and GTFOH?
Can't we just do like an old and used to be good tier? And you put like Russell Wilson in there as well, and we just anyone that's over the age of 35 that used to be good. This is like the tier that Matt Ryan would have lived in, old and used to be good.
Kind of like pro with a pulse, because he is a professional quarterback. He's still very much a like his teammates
pro,
really like
pro
him.
Pro with a pulse,
and he's got a pulse.
Okay,
yeah,
we can live with that.
And by the way, pro with a pulse probably indicates Kirk Cousins. It yeah. probably indicates Russ. It probably indicates, yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. Yeah.
But
it turns out they're not letting a lot of old quarterbacks play the game these days.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, I've been accused of both hating or homering on Joe within this whole thing. And I was like, because even when I say pro with a pulse, it still feels kind of mean.
Well, there's no way to say nice things about Joe Flacco right now. It seems impossible unless you're living off of 2 years ago. And there's a lot of fans that aren't living off 2 years ago, and they think that he's going to be way better than he actually is right now. There's also a whole bunch of people out there that, unfortunately for everyone else, has access to cable and watched him play in Indianapolis last year and left unimpressed.
I'm so Switzerland on Joe the football player. Joe the person, I just like. I like his vibe. I like the fact that when he was here for those, 7 or 8 weeks, he was going to Dunkin' in random places. And I kind of enjoy the fact that he's a little cagey with the media because there's some honesty there. Like, there's so many things I like about Joe the person, but I don't know how anyone could actually have a definitive, the one thing I know to trust of Joe is I know he's got an arm. And that does excite me to some level because that could at least be watchable. It just doesn't mean it's always going to be good watchable.
Can we put him in the category of roller coaster ride where there's going to be a bunch of highs. There's also going to be a bunch of lows as well. Like, part of that big arm is the idea that you see it. There is talent there. It's not as if he's completely washed. It's just then what dumb throw is he going to make in back of that?
It'd
be like Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco.
That's what I was going to say.
Roller coaster ride tier.
The problem is then I would have to put him in a tier with Jameis. And I think Jameis is just... He is roller coaster ride on steroids. It is peaks and you're either.
Well, sometimes you're at Cedar Point and sometimes you're just doing the little kiddie ride.
Like, even Joe, it's so weird. Like, I do think Joe and Jameis are about as approximate as you can get of two quarterbacks given where they are in their careers. But it's just like, I almost feel like it's disrespectful to Joe because I actually have seen restraint from him. And I've never seen restraint from Jameis. I've just seen the other team not catch the interception.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis just flings it.
Yeah.
There's just no other way. I mean, he almost seems like he's not happy unless he has thrown three interceptions in a game.
But I do like the roller coaster thing. I think that's right up there with pro with a pulse.
Are you going to alter the tiers?
I would have to get back in Excel. That's a lot of work.
Or are we going to do an updated, like, once a month tier quarterback system for you? Is that what we're going to do?
Ooh.
Like a constantly evolving tier quarterback system?
So instead of just creating content in the month of July, I can do this.
We get an all-the-time content.
Mm.
Yes, like a once-a-month check-in with the tiers and where these quarterbacks all rank.
Mm, Mike Sando hasn't done this yet, so yes, let's do that.
Oh, yeah, it is funny how people are wondering. It's like, did he rip it off of Sando? Did he rip it off of Ken? Did he rip it off of... It's like, it's a tier system.
I actually think Ken and I ripped it off of Sando the exact same time.
I don't think Sando even deserves credit for it, if we're being honest. He's been doing it for like 10, 15 years, whatever it is, but like...
He hasn't done it yet. Haven't seen his tiers yet.
It almost is like, who came up with the Mount Rushmore category? It's like, isn't that just kind of like, it just belongs to the people?
216-474-0092. So I've been accused of being a homer or a hater, or homer and hater, by different people for putting Joe Flacco in the potentially washed tier of my 2025 preseason quarterback tiers. You guys can actually see that graphic at Nick Wilson Says. And of course, JP's handle is at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What tier does Joe Flacco belong in? And this is where we encourage you to make up your own tier. I said pro with a pulse. I think that's fair. JP saying roller coaster ride. I think that's incredibly fair. But 216-474-0092. What tier does Joe Flacco belong in? We got quick hits coming up at 240. At some point, we got to react to what Tim Kirchen said today, who's the nicest man in the world, somehow upset me today on With the Morning Boys. We got John Fanta, Cleveland's own, at 4 o'clock, as he joins us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And then Steve Phillips, former MLB GM, now with MLB Network at 6 o'clock. But from the tier that I think Joe Flacco belongs into, right up to great stats without postseason success, his should be cheapened at this point. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you laughed at that one.
I really did. And then he changed it to flashes.
I know he did say flashes to begin with, but the sad part was that he got the laugh out of you.
Yes.
And so then he should have just been like, that's exactly what I said was flashes.
When you feel the heat, keep dancing, right?
That's right. I mean, you had fun with it.
But I will say flashes does make sense because you could put him in with guys like Justin Fields. You could put him in with guys like Russell Wilson.
I'm worried flashes is just like, it's like half the league, though, is the problem.
That's probably fair. Like, you could put Trevor in that.
You could put Trevor Lawrence in there. So many people in the flashes category. Baker Mayfield, as great as he is, like, he could, anyone from up to as great as Baker is, all the way down to someone as bad as Joe Flacco, probably falls into the flashes category.
I think this does beg the question of, should a quarterback tier be so specific? Like, with a danger zone, you knew exactly what I was talking about. With potentially washed, you knew exactly what I was referring to.
Off the air yesterday when I said, quarterbacks that wear two gloves that also stink. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
So, or is it you can lump quarterbacks in who we don't think are in the same category for some reason?
I always like if you can make two or three guys together, and then it's something very specific to those two or three. For instance, like if I did quarterbacks that if you thought they were if they were 6'5", they'd be awesome, and it was Baker Mayfield and it was Tua in that group, and basically all the short quarterbacks that we think are meh.
Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler's in there. What we kind of think is like good to grit, you know, whatever. But then if they were 6'5", oh boy, they'd be Peyton Manning.
And would you put Dylan Gabriel?
No.
I mean, I think the consensus is if he was 6'5", he would have been higher drafted. Or maybe he actually would have been worth a third round pick.
Also, people coming at me thinking it's my list, by the way, and wanting me to play Shador Sanders in certain spots is really interesting. Like, how'd you come up with the idea to put just Joe Flacco?
What do you mean?
Well, because the Browns have four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You had to pick one to represent the Browns. How'd you come up with Joe Flacco?
He's just the guy that I think is going to start week one.
I mean, I think that too. I feel like most people that would make this list would also make Joe Flacco in there, but I didn't know if you had any extra layer of thought there.
So I thought about putting all four quarterbacks in, but I thought, like, if the nicest thing I can say is you're potentially washed, this could get really insulting very quickly in a way that I just...
Well, if you put four of them in there and they're all four bad things, people might have thought you just made the list to make fun of the Browns quarterbacks.
Yes. And which
is the right call by you.
It should be made fun of. But, like, all right, Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett are going in the GTFOH category. There's just no other way that they're not going to go in that tier, right? Because why did you draft one with a third round pick, and why is the other one even here?
Yeah.
Is where my opinion is. Shador would have been the toughest one to tier because I don't think there is a Shador tier yet.
We would have had to create one.
Unless it was like the ultimate lotto ticket category.
You could have called him an Instagram athlete like you did last week. That would have been a funny tier.
I meant that as a nice thing.
And it would be a nice thing in the tiers as well.
And it anyone, that, would Cosby
anyone that,
there.
Anyone that comes out, I went
it
Cosby.
Would have been a nice thing as well.
The Jello.
Moblin saying, nice guy.
Never go.
I think
never
that's
go.
Meaner than potentially washed.
Like, oh, the nice guy category? Nice,
yeah, because when you say, oh, hey.
That's kind of funny, though.
When you get set up with somebody and they're like, okay, what can you tell me about them? Oh, they're so nice.
I don't know, man. I'm 36. Well, like, and at this point, if I was setting up somebody, I'd probably lead with nice guy.
Yeah, but that's not what you want to hear if you want to date somebody,
not
right?
Not when you're like maybe 24 or 25, but I think at like 36, 35, the ages that we're at now, I feel like you lead with nice guy. I feel like that's all they're looking for.
No, I don't think so. No. You want to hear he's tall, great eyes, great something. Heard great things about them in certain circumstances.
Max going on a date, I'm leading with nice guy.
I still don't think that's a compliment.
I think it's a very nice thing to say about somebody. I think it's a good thing to say about somebody.
But the problem is when
nice guy, trustworthy.
It can't be the lead.
It's a good thing, like two or three rungs down. But yes. Like if that's what you're leading with, then not great.
By the way, incredibly successful. Great eyes.
Incredibly successful probably nice just means guy. Workaholic. Nice eyes is just a gift from the heavens. That's all that is.
We're both nice eyed guys. Come
that's,
on.
That's
now.
All. That's all that. That's just a gift from the heavens.
I mean, we're taking that for granted. It plays. The eyes play.
I think calling Joe Flacco a nice guy, from the athletic standpoint, I think you're right. From the dating standpoint, we can argue a different time. But from the athletic standpoint, I think you're right. If you put someone in the nice guy category, you definitely mean to insult them.
So we also have Radu asking, is Kenny in the GTFOH tier? You know he is. You know he is.
Oh, I thought he meant Ken Carmen for a second. I was like, no, he's in the non-manly tier after what happened this morning.
I kind of want to get back to the Shador thing. What tier would you put Shador in? Because it can't be up against starters, because that's not fair.
Potential out the ass category.
All right.
It's a good category.
I don't know that I would... I don't know that I would agree. That, like, potential out the tookus, to me, is like a Trevor Lawrence. Like a guy that, like, was taken with a number one pick and number five. Justin Fields. Potential out the tookus. Right? Shador...
Wait, Justin Fields has more potential at this point than Shador does?
I mean, one of them's a clear-cut starter. The other was a fifth-round pick.
I don't know that Justin Fields is long for the game. Like, if you were to tell me, make a bet on who has a better career from this point moving forward, Justin Fields or Shador Sanders, I would put my money with Shador Sanders.
I promise this is not an attempt to troll. But I think if you put up 32 GMs and said who has more potential, Shador or Fields, I'll even go one step further. Who has more potential? And this is what, and maybe this is draftism. I'm now giving you an out. Zach Wilson or Shador Sanders? I think there are going to be people who bet on, there's going to be more people who bet on Zach Wilson than Shador.
I'm not one of those people. Zach Wilson over Shador?
I'm not saying I believe that, but the way the NFL thinks, yeah, he's a fifth round pick. And by the way,
yeah, even Zach Wilson, come
you,
on.
Even if you think he was the 33rd pick, worthy of a second round pick.
I think Shador being in the potential category is a nice category to put him. That is not anointing him in any sort of way. That's also not giving him any sort of a declarative statement. It's just saying there's potential there.
I think it's out the wazoo that I think.
Well, that's
is
the fun part of it all. Yeah.
Potential up to his chest. What about that?
Doesn't hit the same way. We still got to make some people interested in the thing.
Potential the up to way. His ears.
Yeah, whatever you want to phrase it as.
Yeah.
Whatever you come up with.
What if it was like potential, but not that much potential?
Funny. I like it.
All right.
Funny. I like it. Yeah. Right. Still a little insulting, but insulting enough.
216-474-0092. All right. We're getting your Joe Flacco submissions there. We've got nice guy. We've got flashes. Some are saying flashers. What tier would you put each Browns quarterback? You know where I've got Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel, which is in the most insulting one, which is why am I even talking about you?
Yeah, we're there together.
All right, so we got Shador. All right, I don't understand why Joe Burrow gets a pass.
So I noticed you used the 32 out of 32, and that's because we were talking to our buddy Adam earlier today, and he was like, he was mad about your Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow discussion. And he said 32 out of 32 GMs would take Joe Burrow over Jalen Hurts. And I don't have a disagreement at all. I'm not on your side here when it comes to Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is a much better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, but you weren't rage baiting here. You believe in Jalen Hurts in a way.
I do. Well, and I'll spell out here, but I
think this is the most controversial take of the tier system,
which is wild to me because I said he was near elite. Like I do think Joe is a top seven quarterback still, and if you watch him, he's an incredibly watchable quarterback. Like Joe plays the position the way you want to. There's elements of Joe Montana there. There's elements of Brady, and there's elements of wow throws and sexy moves, and there's elements of just a fierce quarterback who can stand in the pocket. Like there's toughness. Like Joe is what I think a lot of people want as a quarterback.
Right.
At some point, though, there's this push and pull of team success in the regular season and postseason and your stats. Joe has put up gaudy stats all of the last 3 years, actually most of his time in the NFL. But
yeah, I mean, last year he led the NFL in completions, attempts, pass yards, and passing touchdowns.
But two of the last 3 years, his team has just not been any good. And that includes, like, and by the way, two of the last 3 years, so most of this, by the way, was graded on like a attempt to try and put 2 to 3 years of perspective on it, whereas Jalen, 3 years ago, outplayed Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. This year, he outplayed Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. The stats aren't sexy, But all the guy has done has been the face of teams that won in the regular season and the postseason to a degree that is historic the way he has led the Eagles on this run. It's the greatest run. The last 3 years, last 4 years are the greatest run of Philadelphia Eagles football in terms of their pure dominance in the postseason. And I kind of feel like that should matter as much as, well, the stats look real sexy.
So PFF came out a couple weeks ago, and they had their positional groups and what they liked and didn't like from each team. And they had the Eagles as the number one team in the NFL from a whole team aspect. And they asked for the weaknesses. And then the weaknesses, they said Jalen Hurts was the weakness of that team. Now, I think that goes a little bit too far. But what I think what they're trying to display there is that in people's eyes, he is much closer to Brock Purdy than he is to Joe Burrow.
But so I think that's fair, by the way. I think that's how people view him. We're acting as if Joe Burrow doesn't have the best wide receiver in the game next to him, and probably the best number two receiver in the game in T. Higgins.
No, yeah, Joe Burrow's what happens when you have, and it's not everything, because his offensive line isn't the greatest in the world, but he's the product of what happens when you have a really talented quarterback and you have the skill position players to match.
But I just think at some point, like, we are punishing Jalen because he's surrounded by great players as if that Jalen, like,
here's what I think hurt Jalen, okay? Here's what I think hurt Jalen. Mm-hmm. I think the Packers playoff game hurt him when he threw for 130 yards. I think the Rams playoff game after that when he threw for 128 yards. And he didn't have a touchdown thrown that entire game. I think those are the type of things that hurt Jalen. Now, he was great in the NFC title game, and he was great in the Super Bowl, right? And that should outweigh a lot of what happened in the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people looked at those two games, and they looked at really the whole stretch of work leading up to that, and they're just left a lot to be desired as Jalen Hurts being the one that put everything on his back.
But it's interesting, like, because I think one of the common practices, and I think it's fair, is, well, if you put Jalen in Cincinnati and Joe in Philly, what does it look like?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a hypothetical exercise. Like, at some point, we are diminishing what Jalen has accomplished. And listen, last year, if I'd put him as the fourth best quarterback or top four quarterback, it wouldn't have been fair because he hadn't aspired to that level of greatness where team success should matter in the postseason or regular season as much as the stats. But at some point, like, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think it's unfair to Jalen to just discredit what he does, which is what I think there are two quarterbacks who gets discredited for their success more than anyone, and they're opposite ends of the spectrum. It's Jalen Hurts and it's Dak Prescott. And I think Joe gets a pass. So listen, do I think the defense is abhorrent? Yes. I heard somebody, Adam, called it
the defense is awful.
A historically bad defense. I actually disagree with that. It wasn't the worst defense in the NFL last year, even if it was pretty terrible. But the idea is, okay, you had success early. And I think for a lot of people, they just anointed Joe and have never questioned it since. And I think that's fake. I think that's wrong.
I do think a lot of Jalen Hurts' entry point into this is a lot of the reason why he doesn't get a lot of people coming around when you're taking him in the second round. Yeah, I think that's something that he's tried to overcome and has to overcome. I think it's more like I'm always fascinated by this because I like Brock Purdy way more than you do. But Brock Purdy would be what you're describing with Jalen Hurts in many ways. But you can see the difference for Brock Purdy's success. But with Jalen Hurts, you're having a hard time here.
Well, the difference is Brock has been progressively worse over the last couple of years, and the team's success has faded. The last 3 years, there's been no diminishing what the Eagles have done. And I think Jalen is
2 years ago, he was in the Super Bowl, though. Last year didn't go well.
I think Jalen, as a runner, is massively underrated. Like, I think Jalen is one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think that makes up for deficits because he's not Joe Burrow as a passer.
Okay. I agree with you. I think Jalen Hurts is a very good runner. I look at Joe Burrow and I look at some of what he has been able to do. I do think you could put him on any team and I think you'd have success. I think Joe Burrow has gotten better with each passing year, and I don't think it's nearly enough credit. Career highest touchdown rate, career lowest interception rate. The man threw like 6 picks last year. Career best accuracy rate. Like, he's finding a way to get better within these games. But it's an interesting convo where the Bengals go from here if he gets injured again, because I'd start to worry about his injury health more than anything.
216-474-0092. Does Joe Burrow get a complete pass from you for the last 3 years and really the last 2 years with injuries and a lack of playoff appearances by the Bengals? An anniversary Cleveland fans would rather forget in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
JP, today is the 15th anniversary of the decision by LeBron James, the TV special announcement, where he announced his departure for Miami. Do you remember where you were when it happened, and what was your immediate reaction?
Oh, I remember watching it. I don't remember where I was. Because it's obviously this is me before Cleveland, yeah. But it was a very big day. I don't know.
You had been in Wichita, not Wichita.
What year was it?
Wyoming? 2010.
2010? No, I was still in college. That's why I don't remember it. In college.
Valid reason.
There's like a four-year gap of sports in college, and it's all within that time frame there where things happened, but they didn't happen the way they typically happen in the sports world for me.
So I was in Lansing, Michigan. I'd gotten home from work where I was a production director at McDonald Broadcasting. Top three worst job ever. I'm not even going to say anything more about the caliber of people I worked with. However, Vanessa was about 6 months pregnant at the time. We had just finished a walk, and I was like, I deluded myself into thinking he's going to put on this whole production just to say Cleveland. Mm. And I did not react well. I posted something on Facebook at the time, which my old PD from Akron immediately called me and said, as your friend, take that down. That is not nice, and it is over the line, and he was 100% right, and it was, so...
He called you over it?
Yeah, and it was the right thing. He if that was still out there, if I hadn't deleted it 15 years ago, I would absolutely regret making a joke at LeBron's expense because I was just sports mad at him. However, I will tell you, Cleveland, we all can talk about the heartbreak on the field. LeBron leaving is right there with Albert Bell leaving Cleveland as like the two great heartbreaks ever. Because Albert was the first player that just left us high and dry when I was old enough to understand what happened. Mm-hmm. And then LeBron was the one of like, we are going to stink beyond measure and we are no longer relevant for about 4 years. But I thought it was going to be a decade. And we only had about 4 years of it.
All right, Kirk Cousins, they released the new second season of the quarterback series. Remember last year? I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I'm going to watch it again this year. There's not much going on TV. I think I can convince my wife to watch it with me. If not, I'll watch it on my own time. I thought it was great. But Kirk Cousins, football Ned Flanders, that's where he first got that nickname from me because it was just so, he's so boring in those shows.
Because it is accurate.
And he's so awful in them. But he was speaking. He's not the highlight. Mahomes is the highlight of the show. But Kirk Cousins was speaking about feeling a little bit misled when the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. in the whole process. Here we go.
I didn't want to leave Minnesota. There was nothing about anywhere that made me want to leave Minnesota. We wanted to be in Minnesota. But it became clear that we were going to be there year to year. And that's what we didn't want. And at that point, we said, all right, we need to look elsewhere. If that's our only option, then we'll be back.
Ended up signing with Atlanta and was pretty excited about the chance to get down there and start fresh. And then, you know, was pretty surprised when the NFL draft happened. Wasn't expecting us to take a quarterback so high. At the time, it felt like I had been a little bit misled, or certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota.
I mean, this does make you feel bad for Kirk Cousins. Like, he totally got misled. He would have stayed with the Vikings for one more year if the Falcons were going to do what they did to him.
No, I mean, he's made like $400 million in his career, and he is... Nah, I don't feel bad for him. I mean, it's not great that Atlanta did this. It absolutely is. Just
it was very shady by Atlanta. Yeah, very bushly.
And by the way, you didn't do this to draft J.J. McCarthy. You just to draft Michael Penix Jr., who there wasn't a lot of first-round grades on Michael. I'm not saying he won't end up being that, but he was the guy that everyone was like, wait, you took that guy and upset Kirk Cousins? It's tough for me to feel. With the way Kirk's career is gone, he's had such a great career, and he's financially just... He's good for years. I kind of don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, but you want to write a better ending than this, where because he could have gone, you could have stayed with Minnesota, and they won 14 games last year. I mean, maybe I don't know. Was Kirk Cousins going to have as good of a season as Sam Darnold? Maybe, maybe not. You still have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, all those guys out there. Like, he wins 13, 12 games, gets a postseason appearance. Like, that's much better for Kirk than how it went down in Atlanta.
A Naked Gun reboot is on the way starring Liam Neeson, and this joke was part of its trailer.
Excuse the mess. I haven't had the heart to clean since he died.
My condolences. How did she pass?
Great. 50 yards easy. Arm like a cannon. And then she died. She was the sweetest woman I've ever known.
She sounds like a saint.
or maybe a Bronco or a 49er. We would have been happy with any team, really. Anyone but the Browns.
I'm sorry.
Funny or foul?
It's a little, as you would say, chotch.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a little, well, we go for the Browns jokes once again, but I like to be included in things, so it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, the Browns shouldn't be talked about as they were before Stefanski and Berry got here. It's still, I mean, you make the worst trade in NFL history and you're coming off 3-14. You're going to get that joke.
So the problem, though, is that like the historically bad franchises have all had come ups lately. Like the Lions are much better. The Bills are much better. The teams you think of in the toilet have had much better previous few years than we've had.
The only thing I would say is it should have been the Jets.
The Jets would have been fun.
I mean, the Jets, really, look at the last 15 years. They are the worst franchise in the NFL if we just average out the 15 years. The Browns are not far that much better because you really have to look at the 10 years before these guys. But
well, but in the 2000s, they at least still, under with Sanchez, they went to back-to-back AFC title games.
So I'll have to see it, and like I'll actually have to watch the trailer itself because we just heard this. Mac actually
we got Pam Anderson, your buddy Paul Walter Hauser's in this as well.
Why do you say his buddy? Because we're both heavy set.
I feel like we talk about him with you a lot. I don't know.
He kind of triggers me. He's kind of the new Kevin James. He's kind of a weirdo.
Well, he's definitely a weirdo. Like, all he's ever played is weirdos.
Yeah.
He's casted as the ultimate weirdo.
I don't think it plays. I don't think it's a good joke. I think that might be the ultimate thing. I don't think the joke flows. My biggest concern is Liam Neeson is stepping into the all-time deadpan king. That didn't sound like a good joke to me.
Can I be honest with you? He lost me like halfway in, and then I got back to where he was going, but it was hard to follow the actual joke that he was going
down.
Is it
because of his voice?
Maybe. I don't know what it was, but he definitely lost me like two different times. I mean,
so the other thing about that, it's a hat on a hat. It's a joke and a joke and a joke. Like, there's almost two. I'll view the trailer here. I think it's foul just because I don't think it's that funny. 216-474-0092. Clevelanders. Do you take offense to the Liam Neeson Browns joke, or do you kind of go, yeah, I kind of get it? There is no middle ground with the Cleveland Guardians. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.